بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسول الكريم، أما بعد، فقد روي في الخبر عن الصادق الأبرياء عليه الصلاة والسلام أنه قال: الكيس من دان نفسه وعمل لما بعد الموت، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. This is a hadith that we discussed last week as well. Just a little more extension on the topic. So briefly, the hadith states that a sensible, intelligent person is he who subjugates his desires to the dictates of Sharia, and he does those actions that will benefit him in the life hereafter. So the hadith emphasizes the importance of suppressing our desires. We all have an enemy within known as the nafs, the carnal self, and the inherent nature of this carnal self is mentioned in the Quran, إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ, that the carnal self commands people towards evil, takes people towards evil. And this is such an arch enemy that in the hadith Nabi Kareem SAW warns us that إِنَّ أَعْدَى عَدُوِكَ نَفْسُكَ اللَّتِي بَيْنَ جَنْبَيْكَ, that your greatest enemy is your nafs that resides within your bodies. The nafs knows every in and out of our bodies, our thought patterns, our inclinations. So it is easy for the nafs, the carnal self, to lead a person astray. Like there is a famous saying in Arabic that Sahibul Bayti Adara Bima Fi, that the person who lives in a certain home knows exactly what happens in that home, what are the operations, the functions, the happenings, occurrences in that home. So similarly, the nafs residing within the body knows our thought patterns, easy for the nafs to lead us astray. And together with the nafs, his ally is of course the shaitan. Shaitan also causes through our body. The hadith tells us, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانِ يَجْرِ فِيكَ مَجْرَ الدَّمِ, that the shaitan causes through your body just as blood causes through your veins. So these two in tandem and working hand in hand together tend to lead man astray. So the hadith indicates that the important thing is first and foremost to suppress our carnal desires, to subdue our desires. And as I mentioned last week, one of the most effective ways of suppressing our carnal self, the desires, is to come out of our daily environment, to come out of the comforts and luxuries that we enjoy daily, and to go into an environment that is conducive towards assisting us in battling these two enemies, these two foes, the shaitan and the nafs. And that environment, as I mentioned, is for example going to the company of a pious person, spending time with him, going out in tabligh in a part of Allah, where a person 24 hours will be in an environment that will be conducive towards him fighting a successful battle against the nafs and the shaitan. Today we discuss one other way that Sharia has prescribed for us to fight these enemies, and that is that we bring our lives onto the path of the sunnah, that we mold our lives in accordance with the sunnah of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This also will be very, very effective in us combating these two enemies, the nafs and the shaitan. That is why Allah Ta'ala very clearly in the Quran mentions, مَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا, that which Nabi Karim Sa'azim has commanded you to do, carry that out, hold fast onto it, and that which he has prohibited, abstain from all that. So implementing the sunnah in our lives will also to a great extent assist in us combating these two foes, these two enemies. In the hadith we are told about many virtues of implementing the sunnah. For example, in one hadith Nabi Karim Sa'azim tells us that taraktu fikum faqalain in tamassuktum bihima lan tadillu ba'di, kitabullah wa sunnati. Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam, that as I leave the world, I leave behind for you people two precious assets, such assets that you, if you hold fast onto them, practice upon them, you will never go astray. One is the book of Allah, the Quran Kareem, and the other is my Sunnah. In one hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioning the virtues of the Sunnah, Man ahya sunnati inda fasadi ummati, falahu ajru miyati shaheed, or kama qala alayhi salatu salam, that he who brings alive any sunnat of mine at the time when corruption and rot is rife in the world and in my ummat, at that time if a person brings alive one of my sunnats, he will get the reward of 100 martyrs. Such a great virtue, such a great reward. Which is why in the hadith Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam impresses and commands us that alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnati al-khulafa rashidin al-mahdiyin, that follow my sunnat and the sunnat of my rightly guided khulafa, because these khulafa also painted themselves with the paintbrush of the sunnah, implemented the sunnah. In another hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Ashabi kan nujum, fabi ayyihim uttadaytum ihtadaytum. That my sahaba are like stars, like guiding stars. Whomsoever you will follow, you will be rightly guided. So this shows that the sahaba kiram radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in had firmly implemented the sunnah lifestyle of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in their lives. If we follow the sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in, then we are following the sunnah of Rasul Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. On one occasion, someone asked the sahabi that what was the lifestyle of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the sahabi replied, they spent a few days with Abdullah bin Masood radhiyallahu ta'ala, observe him carefully, watch how he makes his wudu, because that was the way that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to make his wudu and perform his wudu. Observe carefully how Ibn Masood eats and drinks, because that was the way that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to eat and drink. Observe carefully how Ibn Masood radhiyallahu ta'ala walks, sleeps, sits, because these are the activities that he used to carry out in accordance with the sunnah of Rasul Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in were ardent and diligent followers of the sunnah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And very, very outstanding among the sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in in observance of the sunnah, besides Abdullah bin Masood radhiyallahu ta'ala, another prominent sahabi, Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radhiyallahu anhuma, the son of Umar bin Khattab radhiyallahu ta'ala, he was a true devotee of the sunnah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His special aid and assistant, Nafi rahmatullah, used to say that if you observe Abdullah bin Umar, how conscious he is of the sunnah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how he wants to practice every single tiny sunnah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you look at his observance of the sunnah, you will think this man is a fanatic, that he is insane. Such love he has for the sunnah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he was truly fanatical about it. And that is why it is mentioned about Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, when he used to travel even between Makkah and Madinah Munawwara, on that journey, several places he used to stop to rest for a little while. On one occasion he stopped to rest under a tree, the shade of a tree, and then after resting for a little while, he continued on the journey. Someone asked him that why did you stop at this particular tree? So he replied, because once when I traveled with Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam between Makkah and Medina, I saw that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got off and he rested under the shade of this tree. So I also wish to observe the sunnah of Rasul Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In Bukhari Sharif, there is one lengthy riwayat narration mentioned where the narrators report about Abdullah bin Umar radhiyallahu anhu that he had pinpointed and earmarked every single spot on the journey between Makkah and Medina where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to get off to rest. So he also, Abdullah bin Umar radhiyallahu anhu, also used to rest on those spots. If it was a tree beneath the shade where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam rested, he would also rest. So much so that those trees can survive and not wither away, not die. When he used to stop by these trees, he used to take water and water those trees so that they remain alive. And on another journey, he can get the opportunity to rest beneath the shade of the tree. On one occasion, while traveling between Makkah and Medina, he all of a sudden got off his conveyance and he went to sit in one secluded corner. He did not lower his pants, but he imitated the action of a person relieving himself. So someone was surprised and asked him, why did you do this? So he said, I did not have an urgent call of nature, but because I remember Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got off at this spot to attend to the call of nature, so I merely wished to imitate the action of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Such was his observance of the Sunnah. And his famous incident that we hear time and again, on one occasion, Abdullah bin Umar radhiyallahu anhu, while on a journey, he sat down with his companions to partake of a meal in a distance he noticed a shepherd. So he said to his companions, call the shepherd to join us for this meal. It was not the month of Ramadan, and it was a hot summer's day in the Arab, dry, arid desert. So the shepherd was called. Abdullah bin Umar radhiyallahu anhu invited him to join us for this meal. It was daytime. The shepherd replied that I cannot join you for the meal because I am fasting today. So Abdullah bin Umar radhiyallahu anhu was taken aback by surprise on such a hot summer's day, out in the middle of the desert, under the hot sun, you are fasting. So he replied that I am making use of my ayame khaliya. He was referring to the verse of the Quran where Allah Ta'ala will give glad tidings to people. Allah Ta'ala take us all, inshallah, into Jannat. Allah will give glad tidings to us in Jannat that kulu washrabu hani'am bima aslaftum fil ayamil khaliya. That eat, drink and be merry in Jannat because of the good deeds that you did in the past life, that is in the worldly life. So this shepherd said, I'm bringing to use, putting into use, benefiting from the life of this world, depositing for the akhirat. That is why I'm keeping a nafal roza today. Abdullah bin Umar then decided to test his iman. He asked him that whose goats are you tending to? So he replied, I am a mere slave of a certain person in a nearby village. I am attending and shepherding his goats, grazing them out where I can find some grass in the outskirts of the village. So Abdullah bin Umar said to him that give us one of the goats, or at least sell us one of the goats. We will slaughter it, cook the meat, and ask you to also partake of the meat later when you break your fast. So he replied, I cannot do so, because these goats do not belong to me, I am not the owner. Abdullah bin Umar said to him, your owner will be none the wiser. In the desert, sometimes wild animals, wolves, etc., devour the goats. Your master does not count the goats, take a roll call daily, that how many goats you went out with, how many you have returned with. You will not even know that one is missing. So then, out of amazement when he heard this, the shepherd exclaimed that, فَأَيْنَ اللَّهُ, that weighs Allah Ta'ala. My master may not know that I have given you a goat without his permission, but Allah Ta'ala is monitoring me. Allah is watching over me. Abdullah bin Umar radhiyallahu anhu was so impressed with his taqwa and piety, he went to the nearby village, made inquiries, who is the owner of the slave and the goats, and he purchased from the owner the slave and all the goats. He came back to the slave in the desert and said to him, I bought you and the goats from your master. He said, may Allah Ta'ala give you barakat in that. Then he gave him the good news that now I am setting you free and making you the owner of all these goats. So impressed he was with his taqwa that he did this kind gesture towards the shepherd. And thereafter on many occasions, Abdullah bin Umar al-Anma used to recall the incident of the shepherd, and out of true admiration, he would say to the people, an ordinary layman, ordinary shepherd, he said, فَأَيْنَ اللَّهُ, that weighs Allah. He was conscious that Allah Ta'ala is monitoring his every action. So he said that slavery. It was a habit of Abdullah bin Umar radhiyallahu anhu. He used to set and emancipate many, many slaves. When he heard the virtue of freeing a slave, which is mentioned in the hadith, that when a person sets free a slave, then for every limb of that slave's body, Allah Ta'ala frees every limb of this man who has freed the slave. Allah Ta'ala frees his limbs from the fire of Jahannam. So when he heard this virtue, he used to go out and purchase slaves just so that he could set them free. It is said in his lifetime, he set free a total of 1,000 slaves, which is not an ordinary number. In fact, he used to encourage his slaves to perform the salah, to be observant of the dini obligations. In order to encourage them to perform salah, he would observe them. And those slaves that were punctual with their salah, and further they would perform more nafal salah, etc., he would set them free very, very quickly. So when the slaves came to know of this, they also used a bit of trickery. Those slaves were not punctual of their salah, They used to intentionally perform the salah in front of Abdullah bin Umar, so that he could then set them free. So once someone warned Abdullah bin Umar that these slaves are pulling the wool over your eyes. They are tricking you, they are trapping you, they are not punctual with the salah, but just so that you may set them free, they are showing you that they are performing salah. To this, Abdullah bin Umar replied, that if they are not performing salah out of sincerity for the sake of Allah, that is between them and Allah. But if the action prompts me to set them free for the pleasure of Allah, then I will be prepared to fall into that trap. No matter if they put me into this trap, I know that by setting them free, even if the outward show of performing salah is an incentive for me to set them free, in order to get the virtue of setting slaves free, I am prepared to fall into that trap. And he was so observant of the sunnah, Abdullah bin Umar al-Anma used to daily go out into the bazaars, into the marketplace. Even though he had no necessity of purchasing something, he would merely go out so he could meet many people and make salam to them. Because he knew the virtue of making salam, a great sunnah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that in the hadith the virtue is mentioned, Inna awla an-nasi billah yawm al-qiyamati man bada'ahum bis-salam aw kama qala al-salatu salam, that the closest of people to Allah Ta'ala, those who will attain proximity to Allah on the day of Qiyamah, will be those people who used to be first in making salam to other people. So he used to carry out the sunnah, go to the bazaars, make salam to the people. This is one sunnah that we have forgotten today. When we meet, we will rather say, how are you, how's it, good morning, good afternoon. But we have forgotten the sunnah greeting, which is such a beautiful greeting. That this greeting taught to us in Islam has many virtues attached to it. First and foremost, it is an Islamic greeting. Secondly, it is a sunnah of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thirdly, it is a dua. When you make salam to one another, you are giving dua to one another, that may Allah Ta'ala keep you with peace and serenity and tranquility. And fourthly, it is a dhikr of Allah also. Because the salam is among the sifat and among the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Malik al-Quddus al-Salam, as-Salam, one of the names of Allah. So when you say As-Salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, we are also mentioning one of the attributes of Allah Ta'ala, also engaging in dhikr. So many multiple virtues we get when we make salam. We have forgotten to make salam even when we enter our homes. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he used to enter the household of his wives, any of his wives, he would make salam in a very moderate tone. Considering the fact that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam engaged in the service of the Ummat, used to return home sometimes after Isha, but late at night, and then he would make salam in a moderate tone, considering the fact that if the wife is fast asleep, the sound of the salam will not disturb her sleep. And if she is awake, it will be audible enough for her to hear and to reply to the salam. Ulama tell us when you enter the home and you make salam, there are three virtues in there. The greatest virtue is that it is the sunnah of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The second virtue, when you make salam, when you enter the house, Allah Ta'ala gives barakat in your rozi, in your sustenance. Today we complain about financial difficulties, financial constraints. Let us make the salam a custom with one another, and especially when we enter the home, inshallah we'll see a great barakat in our sustenance, in the rozi. And the third benefit, making salam to the household members, when you enter the home, it creates muhabbat and love among the family members. Today we complain about the generation gap, no communication between parents and children, no love amongst family members, because we have forgotten this important sunnah of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abdullah bin Umar radhiyallahu anhu used to also, when he heard once Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam mention that I have reserved a certain door of Masjid al-Nabawi for the women folk. In those days, women folk also used to come to the masjid to perform the salah. In these days of corruption, ulama do not advise this. But in those days, behind Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the ideal time and age when there was no fear of any danger, any fitna, women were allowed to come to the masjid. So once Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam pointed to a certain door coming to the Masjid al-Nabawi, that this door from this day onwards will be reserved for the women folk. It was known as Babun Nisa, that men are not allowed to enter from this door. No sooner had Abdullah bin Umar radhiyallahu anhu heard this, he never ever for the rest of his life walked through that door. not even by accident, by mistake also, he used to avoid the door like the plague. That because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said men should not enter from this door, he refused to enter from the door. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam encouraged people to give sadaqah and charity, he became so generous. On one occasion, someone sent to him 22,000 dirhams. He spent all that in the path of Allah, immediately. On one occasion, as Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala sent to him 100,000 dinars, that is gold coins, immediately he spent it in the path of Allah, because he knew this was a way of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the hadith it comes, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions to this effect, that if I were to be given a mountain full of gold, I would not sleep peacefully until I spend every bit of it, except for perhaps one or two dirhams I would keep behind in order to settle the dues of my creditors. Other than that, I would spend everything in the path of Allah, because this was the sunnah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radhiyallahu anhu also did this. Once a person came to Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Sahib Gangohi rahmatullah ali. Two friends came, they spent time few days there. One wished to remain behind, the other wished to leave the company of Hazrat Gangohi rahmatullah ali. So he went up and took leave from Hazrat Gangohi rahmatullah ali. Hazrat asked him that why don't you stay a bit longer, we are prepared to serve you, stay a while, a few days more. So he replied, no, I am disappointed. Hazrat asked him, why are you disappointed? He said, I came expecting to see some miracle on your hands. I have not seen a single miracle. By miracle he meant that he wanted to see Hazrat Gangohi perhaps flying through the air on a magic carpet, or perhaps transporting himself in a few seconds from here to Medina Munawwara, or some other miracle of this nature, walking on the surface of the water. He only considered this to be a miracle. Hazrat Gangohi rahmatullah ali then said to him, they tell me, the few days or weeks that you have spent with me, did you ever notice any single action of mine contrary to the sunnah? So he had to concede. He said, no, I did not observe. So Gangohi rahmatullah ali said to him, what greater miracle are you looking for? Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib Gangohi rahmatullah used to say, the greatest miracle in this time and age is observance of the sunnah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No greater miracle, especially considering the challenges we are facing in this era, for a person to be able to carry out all the sunnahs of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a tremendous achievement. It is a great miracle of this age and time. Hazrat Maulana Shabbir Ahmad Usmani rahmatullah ali, who was a great alim and scholar of Darul Deoband, he has written his famous tafsir, Tafsir Uthmani, which our Darul Uloom has published in English as well, a beautiful tafsir. He once mentioned that while I was studying the Quran, I became perplexed and a bit befuddled at one question that was arising in my mind, that as Musa alayhi salatu wasalam in the Quran is mentioned over and over again, time and again, in various paras, in various surahs, in fact, in great detail, the birth of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, his mother putting him in a basket to save him from Fir'aun, and then later him growing up in the court of Fir'aun, being blessed with the mantle of prophethood at Mount Tur, and then going with his brother Harun alayhi salam to invite Fir'aun to Tawheed and the oneness of Allah, and then him saving Banu Israel, crossing the sea, and where the water parted, and they managed to escape from Fir'aun's forces. All these things are mentioned in great detail, time and again in the Quran. So the Shabir Ahmad, Malan Shabir Ahmad Usmani rahmatullah says, the reason for my amazement and my confusion was that it is our firm belief that Nabi Karim Sa'azam is the most superior of all the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, more superior than all the messengers sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatest of all the messengers. So why is it that Nabi Sa'azam's life is not mentioned in such great detail in the Quran, as is the life of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam? I was a bit befuddled. So he said, then, when I pondered over this verse of the Quran, that قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ, he said, that summed it all up for me. When I read this ayat, I was totally blown away, and I understood that why Nabi Sa'asim is the greatest creation of Allah Ta'ala and the greatest Nabi, that in this ayat, the crux of the ayat is that Allah Ta'ala is indicating that those who follow the lifestyle of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah Ta'ala will show love for that person. That person will become the beloved of Allah. So Hazrat Usmani rahmatullah says, when I read this verse, I realize the status of Nabi Karim Sa'asim. There's such a great Nabi, such a great Nabi, that just by merely following his sunnah and his lifestyle, a person becomes a beloved of none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who can be a greater Nabi than Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? That even though Nabi Sa'asim's life is not mentioned in minute detail in the Quran, just this single verse sums up the status and the caliber of Nabi Karim Sa'asim. There's such a personality that merely following his sunnah makes a person the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah forgives his sins. So this shows that what a great Nabi Allah has blessed us with, and what a great sunnah lifestyle he brought to us, to the best of our ability, in our daily chores, in our businesses, in our walking, talking, eating, drinking, dressing, in every facet of our lives, we should try to the best of our ability to bring into our lives the sunnah of Rasulullah Kareem Sa'asim. Then inshallah it will become very, very easy for us to combat the attack of the shaitan, the attack of the carnal self, and to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah inshallah give us all tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Subhanallah wa bihamdi, subhanallah. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.